Welcome back to the Learn English Podcast, the podcast teaching English in context so you can learn naturally. It is the end of October when I am recording this episode, which means that it is almost Halloween. Halloween is a major holiday here in the United States. It is celebrated on the 31st of October every year. I did an episode last year that I will leave an iCard for if you're watching on YouTube, all about Halloween and how Americans celebrate Halloween. On today's episode, I'm going to talk about a particular episode, a particular time period in American history when people were accused of being witches. And that is the Salem Witch Trials. The Salem Witch Trials were something that's actually kind of sad when you think about it. It was a time period where women, especially, were accused of being witches, and it had a very big cultural impact at the time, and it's still referenced today. If you watch some Halloween TV shows or movies, you might actually hear a reference to the Salem Witch Trials, and that's really what I want to discuss today: what the Salem Witch Trials were, why they occurred, and their cultural impact that is still occurring. If you want to learn more about the Salem witch trials and who got accused of being a witch, then follow along because we're about to begin. A quick reminder before we begin to look at the description of this podcast episode. In the description, you will find a vocabulary list of the words and phrases that I use in this episode. I do it for all of the podcasts because I want you to take these words, start studying them, and start using them in conversation yourself. I'm going to tell you there's going to be a lot of vocabulary on today's episode, so please look at the description so you can find these vocabulary words and phrases along with their definitions. Now let's talk about the Salem Witch Trials. The Salem Witch Trials occurred a long time ago. They occurred in 1692 to 1693. So you're looking at a point in time that was about 330 years ago. A long time ago. Now, currently, the place that was Salem back then has a slightly different name now. It's now called Danvers, but the area around it is still called Salem. Just know that if you go to Salem now, it's not the same Salem as where these witch trials actually occurred. Now, currently, that is actually called Danvers, Massachusetts. Let's talk about what happened. Back in the early founding of the United States, there were people called Puritans. Puritans were a type of Christian who were very, very strict with their belief. They were originally from England and were part of the Church of England, but they wanted to purify the church. They thought the church had moved away too much from the teachings that they should be following, and they thought that the English church needed reform. They ended up leaving England. They came to what is now the east coast of the United States, and they colonized that area. If you don't know where Massachusetts is, it is on the east part of the country, and that's where these people were. So the colony that was there in Salem, Massachusetts, were Puritans. The Puritans had a belief that they were fighting in this battle between good and evil. God, of course, existed in their mind, but so did the devil or Satan. They thought that there was a battle going on between good and evil. Satan was real. Demons were real. Evil was real. And that the devil could invade your life. Because of that, they had very, very strict beliefs. And anyone who was accused of being a witch could be punished and most likely would be punished. These Puritans that lived in the Massachusetts Bay and lived on that eastern part of the United States had very strict gender roles. They believed that women should be submissive, should be pious, which means that they should be very religious, have a very strict following, and follow those rules of what they believed. They believed that the devil did influence people's lives and that followers of the devil were witches. So if you were a woman who did not act like they wanted you to act, who did not do the things that they wanted you to do, you could be accused of being a witch. Being a witch was not a good thing. It was not good in this society. The best you could hope for was being shunned. Being shunned means that people wouldn't look at you, wouldn't talk to you, wouldn't interact with you, wouldn't trade with you. That was probably the best you could hope for. And that was pretty scary at the time. If you think back to the 1600s, you needed a community to survive. The worst that could happen is that you would no longer be living. And sadly, that's what brings us to the Salem witch trials. So, in the town of Salem in 1692, there were a bunch of young girls who started acting very strangely. These young girls started contorting their body. Now, I know this is a weird word, contorting. What that means is to move their body in weird ways. Think of a modern day contortionist, someone who is very flexible and able to bend their bodies. And this idea of contortion is something that you definitely see in scary horror films and TV shows. So in Salem, Massachusetts, these young girls started contorting their body. They started saying weird things. They started screaming and seeing things and hearing things. And people thought that they were bewitched. Bewitched means that a witch was putting some type of curse on them, was causing them to act in this very strange way. Soon, more and more girls started experiencing these weird behaviors, and the local doctor said that someone was causing this, that a witch was causing these strange behaviors. Of course, that led to a mass panic in the town. Everyone started getting scared that their daughters were going to be targeted by a witch, and they wanted to figure out who was doing this. In March of 1962, the first accusations were made. The first women were accused of being witches, and these women were questioned in public. They were questioned about being witches. Usually, some type of evidence was shown that they were a witch and that they were participating in witchcraft. And what happened was that some of the women actually confessed. Some of the women confessed that they were witches and said that they did these things, and then also said that other women were witches as well. Now, when we look at this now, we can say this happens. We know from evidence and from police investigations that sometimes people confess to things that they didn't do, especially if they're under stress when they are giving those confessions. If they're scared, if they're being physically harmed in some way or threatened with harm, sometimes people just say things that aren't true and they make up a story because they think, well, maybe it'll save them. And looking back at the Salem witch trials now, that's probably what happened. Of course, we weren't there. We can't say for sure, but most likely these women were scared, were fearful for what was going to happen to them, and then they confessed. And when they confessed, if they mentioned somebody else, that other woman would be brought in and questioned, and the thing just kept growing. The official trials started in June of 1692. And the trials, when you look back now, are a little bit ridiculous. There was testimony from spirits, which you can't prove even existed. Who even knows what that was all about? There was testimony that spirits were seen doing witchcraft and that they were the spirits of these particular women. And looking back now, it seems rather ridiculous. But at the time, that was all accepted into evidence. So these women who were on trial, of course, were found guilty. And the first woman, Bridget Bishop, was executed in June of 1692. Just a few months later, by September, 19 people had been executed, and one man as well, because he refused to enter a plea. After so many people had been punished by the system, people actually started doubting what was occurring and kind of started seeing how ridiculous this whole thing was. People started doubting the evidence that was being given at trial. And because of that, the trials actually were ordered to stop. The governor actually stepped in and dissolved the court trials. He stopped the trials from occurring, and the superior court of the state came in. When they did that, the trials continued, but only real facts could be used. A lot of people started being found not guilty with having real facts. A lot of people, shockingly, I know, were found not guilty of witchcraft. By May of 1693, the trials were over, but the damage had already been done. 20 people had been killed, and the reputation of the town had really been harmed because of these trials. So, why did these trials occur? What was the reason for them? And why did these people get accused of witchcraft? Well, there's a number of theories, there's a number of ideas. I think there's probably a lot of different factors that were involved, a bunch of different reasons, but we'll go through some of the most common ones. Probably the first one was because of the strict gender roles of Puritans. Like I said, they had very strict gender roles, and any woman who did not conform to those rules, if you think of a modern woman now in the world, most likely they would not have conformed to those gender roles. And most likely Puritans would look at women now and call them witches. All right. So there was a lot of misogyny. There was a lot of ideas of how a woman should act. And so any woman who was outside of those boundaries was at risk of being accused of something. And so if they were accused of being a witch, they really did not have a lot of protection from those accusations. Another reason is because something did happen to those young girls, or at least it seemed like it happened. Those young girls were experiencing some type of thing, so there was some reason why they were acting strangely and yelling out. One theory is that the girls started doing it as a joke and then liked the attention, or really couldn't say that they were lying because they would know they would get in trouble. So one theory is that it started out as a prank, as a joke, as just something to do, and then either they kept going on purpose because they were getting a lot of attention for it, or they kept going because they couldn't tell anyone that they were lying and it just got out of control. Another theory is ergot poisoning. There is a fungus called ergot that grows on rye and other type of grains. And the theory is that this fungus was growing on the grains that the people in this community were eating. What happens when you eat grain that has ergot on it is you get ergot poisoning. The symptoms of ergot poisoning have to do with the central nervous system. That means your brain, your nerves in your body that control your muscles. When someone has ergot poisoning, they can have convulsions, which means they start shaking, their body starts moving in weird ways. They can also have hallucinations, so they can see things that are not there, hear things that are not there, and they can also become paranoid or even have seizures. If you look at these symptoms and you compare it to what was reported that the girls were experiencing, there is some overlap. So there is a theory that maybe these girls had ergot poisoning. Maybe they had had some grains that had this fungus on them and they were afflicted with a medical condition. But because medical knowledge was so low at the time, people didn't know it was a medical condition and instead thought it was due to witchcraft instead of just a fungus. Some other theories have to do with money. Money can be involved in a lot of different decisions that people make. And one theory is that if people got accused of witchcraft, they would lose their property because they would no longer be using their property. And so people could take their land, could take their possessions. So it might have been a way to take something from someone that you wanted. You could accuse your neighbor of being a witch and then, take their stuff, take their land, take their food. Also, there was attacks from Indigenous Americans, Native Americans at the time. So there might have been already a sense of fear and a sense of being under attack in the community. And then, of course, just an lack of a real legal system. These people didn't have lawyers. The evidence against them was ridiculous now that we look back at it, and wasn't really fair, the evidence that was put into their trials, but they were still convicted because of it, even though really there wasn't any evidence that they did what people said they were doing. Whatever the reason, whatever combination of reasons, the Salem witch trials had a really big impact. After the trials ended in 1693, a lot of people who took part in the trials ended up regretting their decisions. There was a lot of remorse, a lot of regret from people who had been part of the trials. The judge who oversaw the trials actually issued a public apology, and there was a day of fasting and praying to try to apologize. So, fasting means that you don't eat. If you think of the word breakfast, it actually comes from the two words break fast, because you don't eat when you sleep. That's what fasting means. So, a day of fasting, a day of prayer, people didn't eat, people prayed for the day to try to find forgiveness for their role in the trials. The cultural impact of the Salem witch trials is still felt today. It was an example of kind of this mass panic, this panic that people get from something that maybe doesn't even exist. Sometimes when people are very religious or have these very rigid religious ideals and they think these things are real, that can really influence and scare people. The Salem witch trials also were such a big historical event and kind of a dark event, dealing with witchcraft, dealing with people being executed for crimes that they didn't commit, that it had an impact culturally. You see a lot of references to the Salem witch trials. If you have seen the Marvel TV show on Disney Plus that was WandaVision, there, of course, the character of Wanda is a witch in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. She is the Scarlet Witch. And one of the characters in that show is Agatha. She actually has her own TV show, but her backstory in WandaVision was that she was part of those Salem witch trials. Again, you're seeing how that big event about witchcraft even is still being shown on TV shows today. So if you're interested, at least in witches and superheroes, you can check out WandaVision, and you can also check out that Agatha All Along show on Disney Plus. There's also other books and TV shows and movies that you can use to learn about the Salem witch trials, but also get more input to help you with your English abilities. If you like horror TV shows, if you want to watch some type of horror shows and celebrate Halloween that way, you can watch American Horror Story. One of the seasons, which was American Horror Story Coven, and it is specifically about the Salem witch trials. It talks about the Salem witch trials and the impact on modern day witches. There was also a TV show called Salem that ran for a few years on TV and is about the town of Salem. It's fictional in this, of course, witches exist and everything is a fictional story, but it is set in Salem and talks about these witch trials. Probably the most famous and most well-read part about the Salem witch trials in terms of fiction is a play by Arthur Miller called The Crucible. This is a play, so if your level of English isn't incredibly high, this might be a good option for you. It is relatively short and it is written as a play, so it has very specific directions and you know what the story is. You're able to follow the story. It is fictional. It is a fictional telling, but it is of one of the girls who accuses someone else of being a witch and the trial that occurs. This play is pretty famous. Arthur Miller was a famous playwright here in the United States. He was very popular, and this is a play that a lot of people read when they are in school. I got assigned this when I was in high school. It is one of those stories that is well known. A lot of people have read it. There's also a movie version. So if you're not really wanting to read the play itself, you can also check out the movie version of The Crucible. It is a little bit older. It's from 1996, but if you're interested, you can check that out as well. If you want to watch any of the TV shows or movies that I talked about, I will leave a link to two different websites that I use to look up if a show or movie is available to watch on a streaming platform. I am not affiliated with these websites. I am not getting paid. I have nothing to do with how they're run, but I use these websites. I find them really helpful. You can put in the name of any TV show or movie into the search, and it'll tell you if it's available in your country and if it is, what platform it's available on. I will leave those in the description. So if you are interested in watching these, you can check those out. If you are in Massachusetts, you can also visit the area. Like I said, there is an area called Salem, but if you actually want to see the place where these trials occurred, it's actually Danvers, Massachusetts now. At Halloween time, Salem has a huge Halloween event. A lot of people go to Salem because it is connected with witchcraft, and Halloween involves a lot of the paranormal, ghosts, spirits, witches, wizards, magic, all of that gets wrapped up into Halloween. So at Halloween time, a lot of people do go to Salem. There is some thoughts that the area is haunted still by people who were part of the trials. So psychics will be there, ghost hunters will be there. And if you're interested, if you really want to go, if you're ever in the area, you can go around Halloween and you can probably see a lot of people there, see some events and experience that firsthand if you're interested. I hope you learned a little bit about American culture. I hope you learned a little bit about the Salem witch trials, and now you know what people mean when they talk about it. You'll understand the reference when you see it in TV shows or in movies. And I hope you also learned some English vocabulary. We talked about a lot of different words, some complicated words, and I hope that helped you build your English vocabulary. So, just a reminder to check out the description of this podcast episode and all of our previous podcast episodes. I make a vocabulary list of the words and phrases that I use, along with their definitions. So please look at that list, take any words that you don't know, start studying them, and start using them in conversation yourself. If you found this podcast episode interesting, please let me know. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment. Tell me if you enjoyed this episode. If you want more episodes like this that talk about historical and culturally significant events, I did this one, of course, because it's Halloween and Salem is very tied to Halloween. But if you want other ones like this, please just let me know. If this podcast is helping you, if you have found it helpful in your English journey, if it's helping you learn English, please consider leaving us a rating on whatever app you are using to listen to this podcast on. Tell a friend, tell a family member, share it with someone who is also learning English so we can continue to grow our audience. I really want to thank you for all of the support. We have grown so much over this past year, more than I ever thought we would. And I just want to keep that up. I would like to continue growing and reaching more and more people to help them with their English. A reminder that you can follow us on social media at Learn English Pod. The website is learnenglishpod.com. And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss our next episode when it comes out next week. Until then, keep learning English.